Woodstock Christian Church. It's great to see all you this morning. If you will bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you that we can just come into your house this morning and just worship you, because that is what we are here for. And let us just learn today how to go and be the church, as Kirby likes to say, and just make this day a best day, because every day should be a best day. In Jesus' name.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender spur of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you just repeat why. Say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Humbly A Redeemer. And as I was helping to lead singing of that song, the words on the back screen is where I was looking, and I noticed the words of the chorus. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. And then it came to my mind, and if Judy were here, she'll tell you my mind is strong.
Now they turned it up, maybe, I don't know. And so I said, you know, what if you took out that little space between for giving us to forgiving us, that you had to send your Son. Now, God loves us so much that he was willing to do that. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to come, leave heaven, be born of the Virgin, live his life, and die. A cruel, harsh death so that he could be our Savior. And forgive us. How much did God actually give? How much did Jesus actually give for us to be forgiven? As we partake of the bread and the cup, let's remember these words from 1 Peter. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, which we take so much value in. God says those are perishable things. Not with perishable things like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope little piece of bread reminds us of the body of Jesus hanging on the cross, having been whipped, nails pierced, a crown of thorns. That little cup of juice reminds us of his blood. But let us never forget it is precious blood. The precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus. As we remember through these emblems or symbols, may we never forget how precious that gift was. Heavenly Father, in these moments of remembering Jesus, remembering his suffering and his death. As he said, his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of many. If we have received him as our Lord and Savior, we are of that many. And we are thankful. And I offer our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the time of worship where we give back to God, there are different ways that you can give, online and texting and through the little boxes in here and in the front. Let us remember how much God has given us. First of all, as the King James describes it in the words of Paul, the unspeakable gift of God. How can you really explain it? Newer translations say indescribable gift. And then how many blessings have you received this week, this day? Every good gift comes from God. And so we return a portion of that with joyful hearts. Father, we just thank you. How simple those words are, but Father, they are powerful words. To recognize you as the source. You've given us the strength to work. You've given us the minds to do the job that needs to be done. And so, whatever we have earned, it has come because you have blessed us with the ability to do so. And we return a portion of that because we love you, Father, and know you have loved us. Accept these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
maybe I'm a little overly sensitive, just a little. But somehow I think that if the school tried to secularize Muslim or Jewish holidays, we'd be in trouble. Oh, am I not on? I guess I need to turn it on.
We can still hear you.
I'm loud enough. I thought somebody was going to answer me. You know. That's really working now. But you know, the truth is, I'm loud. We're talking to the people down the road. But you see, maybe, just maybe, Christmas has itself become more of a cultural holiday and should have certain religious elements removed so that we don't offend those that don't practice Christianity. What do you think about that? I'm about to get a revolt, aren't I? Well, this morning we're going to take a look at what happens when we take Christ out of Christmas. Well, the obvious thing is we won't say Merry Christmas anymore, will we? If we're going to do this thing, right, let's first thing we need to do is take his name out of the holiday. That's why we celebrate Christmas in the first place, right? Now, a little background. Some of you probably know that the date of Christmas was originally used in pagan celebrations in Rome to celebrate the passing of the winter solstice. You see, the ancients knew that by this time in December, the shortest day and the longest night had passed. And with that came the promise of longer days and shorter nights and eventually spring. It represented hope out of the darkness. But it wasn't a Christian hope. And then around 270 A.D., Emperor Aurelian, he capitalized on the heathen worship of the sun and he co-opted it as a Roman holiday and he declared December 25th as the day of the unconquered sun. S-U-N, the day of the unconquered sun, not the Son of God, the day of the conquered sun, because it was going to get lighter every day. The date December 25th as a celebration of Christ's birth was first seen in a Roman calendar dating approximately A.D. 336. So we did 330 years without December 25th as Christmas. But it'd be almost another 20 years in A.D. 3054, the beginning of the reign of Liberius as the Bishop of Rome, that the 25th of December became the official day that the church said this is Christmas. But really, you know as well as I do, it's very unlikely that Christ was born during the winter month in Israel, because it was wet and cold winter nights. And how do I know that? Well, let's look at this. In Luke 2:8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now, what does that mean about the days and time? Well, the usual time for sheep to be kept in the fields surrounding Bethlehem was after the winter rains. It started about April, and it again to about November. So they would be out in the fields from April to November, so we know it wasn't in December. But December wasn't always the choice for Christ's birthday. In 200 years after the death of Christ, Christians celebrated his birth on January 6th. That was for a while. Then April 19th for a while. May 20th for a while. And several other dates. So what does that do with our traditions that we have to do this on this day? Huh? I mean, really, people get all to pieces because we got to do it on this day. We got to celebrate this on this day. That kind of throws our Advent calendar out the window, doesn't it? 40 years ago, a British physicist and astronomer named David Hughes calculated the date of Christ's birth was September 17th of 7 BC. And he based it on various scientific evidence, including the conjunction of two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, in the constellation of Pisces. That's my sign, by the way. Of course it would be there. And that on this date, they all lined up to make this incredible star in the sky. And it could be seen by the distant wise men because it was so bright. Not like there's not any other amazingly bright stars at different times in the year. But you see, the truth is we really don't know when Christ was born. What matters is that he was born. Historically, it would have to have been before 4 BC. It had to be before then, which was the death of Herod the Great. And because of the weather patterns, it's doubtful if it would have outside of the 7-month spread between April and November. But it doesn't matter. We get hung up on the craziest stuff, don't we? The fact is that if we're going to take all the religious symbolism out of Christmas, we've got to get rid of Christ. We've got to get rid of the Christ in Christmas. And that leaves us with a Mary Moss, right? And that doesn't work either. You understand that the word Christmas is a combination of the word Christ and Mass. And while the word Mass comes from the Latin Missa, which means the meeting, historically it is referred to the public celebration of the Eucharist in the Catholic Church. It was a church service. So we got to take the Mass out of there because it's got religious overtones. So I guess we just have to go around saying Mary. But we've got to make sure people understand you're saying Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, not Mary, M-A-R-R-Y. Because that Mary would bring us back to the birth of Jesus, so we've got to make sure we make that distinction. You know, we can leave them with the Mary. So where does that leave us? We don't call it Christmas. We'll have to simply refer to it as the holidays. That's even wrong because holiday is simply the diminutive of holy day. Well, we can't call it holiday anymore either. So I know what we'll call it. We'll just call it Winterfest. What do you think? And instead of having a Christmas tree, we'll just have a festive tree or a holiday tree. Have you noticed around here each year, time after time, every year, these decorations just magically show up? They're not so magical if you're the ones putting them up. Or taking them down, right? But it also happens all through town, doesn't it? In public places, the towns and the counties, they put up their decorations. And here, we have nativity scenes. We got one out front, we got one here, and you know, we've got those, but when you go into the town square, you don't see that, do you? You don't see it. They avoid any suggestion of religion in their decorations. They'd consider a nativity scene, except sometimes they do put an angel on a tree. Have you noticed that? Because angels are an important part of the season for most people. We see them on trees and rooftops. They've become lawn ornaments and gift tags and Christmas cards. They don't say anything about Christ, but they'll have angels with trumpets all over the cover. Go figure. But you just can't have angels with realizing where the angels come from. The Christmas story is full of angels. An angel who told Mary she would have a child even though she was a virgin. It was an angel who reassured Joseph that she hadn't been unfaithful. That she was actually carrying the Son of God. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It was angels who appeared to the shepherds with the news of Christ's child being born in Bethlehem. And it was an angel who warned Joseph and Mary that Herod was going to try to kill the child. And probably the part of the story that most of us associate with angels happened in the field with the shepherds, didn't it? Remember this? Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. But have you noticed in recent years, angels, they've become harmless, non-religious icons, haven't they? Have you noticed that? I've had people tell me, I'm not really religious, but I believe in angels. Seriously. What they really believe in isn't angels, they're just really big fairies. So realistically, if you're taking Christ out of Christmas, then you've got to get rid of that angel on top of your tree. So we get rid of the pesky angel off the top of the tree, and what do we replace it with? A star. We put a star up there. That's harmless. There's stars everywhere, right? I mean, stars appear on flags on over half of the countries in the world, and they cover the sidewalk in front of a Chinese restaurant in Hollywood. How can that be bad? You know, what could be any more non-religious than a star? Well, stars appear, you know, everywhere. Well, why do you think people put stars on top of their tree? Why not moons or a little Jupiter? I think it'd be cool if we put a Saturn up there with rings around it. What do you think? But no, traditionally people have insisted on placing stars on top of their trees. And it probably goes back to the Christmas story. You know how the wise men followed a star? That shining, it was shining in the east and led them to Bethlehem where they found the Christ child. And it says, where is the one who has been the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, there have been a lot of different legends told about the wise men and the star in the east through the years. And one of those legends tells us that when the star's mission was complete, it fell into the well at Bethlehem. It just fell out of the sky and went into the well. Yeah. That's some weird stuff, isn't it? And, you know, so if you're taking religion out of the holiday season, you have to get rid of that star on top of your tree, too. But they did say about the star that fell in the well that if your pure heart was pure and you looked in that well, you could still see the star. I don't think anybody's heart's been pure enough to see it yet because it's not there. But you got to take it off the tree if you're going to get rid of religion. Now, I guess that leaves us with a tree without a top. Doesn't it? I said, do you ever wonder where the Christmas tree came from? There's a lot of stories about that. Early pagan cultures from the Romans to the Egyptians to the Celts used evergreens in their celebrations to signify eternal life because they didn't die in the wintertime. They just stayed green. And the Christmas tree didn't actually come into usage until the 16th century, and the home of the Christmas tree is in Germany. And why was it used? History tells it became popular because of a medieval play about Adam and Eve that was put on each year in December. And part of the production was the paradise tree, a fir tree hung with apples signifying the forbidden fruit. So having a paradise tree in your house was the fad of the time. Well, at the same time, though, there was another tradition in Germany called the Christmas pyramid. And on this pyramid is triangular shelving unit, and they put figurines and fruits and gifts were put on the pyramid and was decorated with a star signifying the star in the east. And eventually, the paradise tree and the Christmas pyramid merged, and now we have the Christmas tree. Well, a number of years ago, I'd heard that it was Martin Luther. You've heard that story too? Now, which one's right? I don't know. But he was a former Catholic priest who became the father of the Reformation in the Lutheran Church who started this tradition. So what did I do? I got out this week and got on the internet and I hunted and hunted and hunted for the story about Martin Luther and the Christmas tree. Well, one legend says that, this is what I found. One legend says that Luther started the practice according to the story. He noticed a starlit sky as he walked home one Christmas Eve about the year 1513. He thought the stars looked as if they were sitting on the branches. When he arrived home, Martin Luther placed a small fir tree inside his house and he decorated it with lighted candles. Now, I'd like to tell you that I got this from some theological book, some really credible source. But through the ages that this has been passed on, and the truth is I came upon it in a definitive yet strange reference. This one. Charlie Brown, Super Book of Questions and Answers. And if Charlie Brown says it, it is true. Well, here's the problem. The problem is that any way you slice it, the Christmas tree has a religious background. So it's got to go. It's got to go. So I guess if there's no tree, then Santa will just have to leave the gifts in the corner, won't he? Well, that would be well and good if you could leave Santa in your non-religious Christmas. You're probably sitting there thinking, surely Santa can't have any religious symbolism. Surely not. I had a friend of mine. He was a Baptist preacher in Virginia. He called him Satan Claus. Yeah. He was so anti-Santa. I mean, it was extreme, I'm telling you. We had all kinds of talks about the Easter Bunny and you know, it came holidays. I didn't even go around him. But he said, you see, Santa Claus wasn't always Santa Claus. Do you know that? That's a relatively new innovation in the last couple hundred years. The Santa we know today had his beginnings in 1823 with Clement Moore's A Visit from St. Nicholas, in which he describes Santa as a chubby and plump, right jolly old elf. And what's wrong with a jolly fat guy? At least he's happy. But I mean, that's where it came from. But the story of St. Nicholas didn't begin with Moore's book. His roots actually go back, you know, 1700 years when a man by the name of Nicholas was the bishop of the city of Myra. And if we were to get out our trusty map, we would discover that Myra is on the coast of Turkey. And tradition tells us that Nicholas was born into a wealthy, but he became an orphan when his parents died of the plague. And he became a priest in his late teens and was known for his generosity. And during the Roman persecutions of the Christians, he was imprisoned. And he wasn't released until Constantine became a believer. And legend tells us that he took gifts to the children of the poor families and would deliver them by dropping them down the chimney. Now, he didn't go down the chimney. He's a fat guy. He was happy, right? He wasn't going down the chimney, but he dropped gifts. And then the story tells us how Nicholas heard of a family with three daughters who couldn't marry because they didn't have a dowry. So he snuck into their home and left gold coins in their socks that were hanging on the mantle to dry. I guess back then it wasn't a matter of love or looks that you got married for, was it? It was money. He had to leave them some money so they could get married. It also means that the Christmas stockings have to go too. And after his death, the church pronounced him a saint, and when Christmas started being celebrated, St. Nicholas became part of the celebration. So if we have to ditch Santa and the tree, we've got to replace them with something. I know, have any of you watched Seinfeld? Yeah. You remember this? He said, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas. We'll get us a Festivus pole. You know, a Festivus for the rest of us. Festivus. That way we don't have to celebrate Christmas. We can get us a Festivus. Fest of us. What do you think? Do you want one of those instead of a Christmas tree? I mean, if we have a Santa or not, I guess, as long as we got gifts, that's what really matters. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? About gifts? We've got rid of everything else. All the presents wrapped up with pretty paper and bows placed by somebody who has no religious connections, all in the corner under an aluminum pole where the tree used to be. But what would prompt people to give other people gifts in the middle of the winter? Well, let me read to you. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, gifts have been around since long as Christmas has been around. And even though those first gifts may not have been practical, they were all very significant. Gold was traditionally the gift given to a king. We're told that in Persia it was customary that no one could approach the king without first presenting him with a gift of gold. Good work if you can find it. You got to have gold. So if we need to remember that the child in the cradle was the King of Kings. And the second gift was frankincense, which was a type of incense that was used in the temple worship. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament is a type of sacrifice. And it was a gift for a priest. One who would open the way to God for the people. And it's interesting that the Latin word for priest is pontifex, which literally means bridge builder. And Jesus did what none of us could do. He built a bridge for us to God. And the third gift was myrrh. And it was mixed with aloes by the Jews to embalm their dead. And I wonder if Mary remembered the gifts when her son was crucified. I wonder if she still had that myrrh. And in my opinion, it was one of the first prepaid funerals. You know? And so the gifts were brought to a child who would be a king and a priest and who would die for the world. And not one of these gifts could have been sufficient to fully describe who Christ was. Instead, it took all three. And each year we open presents, then we're remembering the gifts that were given to Christ over 2,000 years ago. And you know what that means, don't you? No gifts. Not if you're going to take Christ out of Christmas. You can't give any gifts, guys. You're off the hook. You don't have to go out and shop on Christmas Eve for your wife something because you forgot. So what do you got left? We've taken away the Christ and the Mass and the angels, the star, the tree. And we've had to get rid of Santa, the stockings, and all the gifts. I guess we're going to have a pretty boring Winterfest morning. I suppose we could always sing. But what are we going to sing? Away in the Manger? The First Noel? Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Joy to the World, or any other traditional music. You know what I'm always amazed? You go in the store and they can't tell you Merry Christmas, but they can play all those songs while you're shopping. Have you ever noticed that? You know, I guess we take what we can get. However, if you're serious about secularizing Christmas, all the songs you'll have left will be about reindeer and snowmen. And if you sing about snowmen, you won't be able to pretend that he's Parson Brown. Do you remember that? The writer of Winter Wonderland says, because Parson Brown was what they called clergy of the time. And if you sing about reindeer, you won't be able to sing about Santa. So maybe we'll just have reindeer in the sled, and maybe snowmen can drive the sled. What do you think? That'll be our Christmas theme. So here's the truth. This year and for many years to come, the world will not celebrate Winterfest. They will celebrate Christmas with both Christ and Mass. Churches will be packed with people that haven't been to church in 12 months because that's the only time they think about Jesus. Trees will have angels and stars in memory of a bishop named Nicholas. Santa will deliver gifts to children all over the world, just as the Magi gave gifts to the Christ child. And we'll sing our carols, and most of the pagan among us will celebrate the birth of Jesus in song. And that's good, because Jesus said this. He said, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Christmas is coming, and Christ is in it. And we cannot remove it. Because without Christ, there is no reason for this season that we're celebrating. We can try to take it out, and it leaves nothing. There's nothing left. We cannot proclaim our Savior without proclaiming His birth as Christmas. We either shout it to the world, or we just get us a Festivus pole. and have another day just like the rest. There is no Christmas without Christ, and like there's no salvation without Jesus. You know, when Joseph and Mary set out on their journey to Bethlehem, it was really the beginning of a long journey to the cross. Jesus' journey began to save our souls in the manger. How can we not shout it from the rooftops? How do we not go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We are so thankful for the love you showed us as you sent your Son into this world. Lord, I just pray. I pray that you give us the strength and the courage to proclaim Jesus as Lord. That we look and we see in everything Christmas, Jesus, the baby boy born for our salvation. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the band missed their cue. They missed the cue. The band missed their cue. Merry Christmas, right? Yeah. But what would Christmas be without Christ? It'd just be another day, wouldn't it? What would today be without Christ? You all would have gotten up for no reason than to sit in here and listen to me go on about something you don't believe in. But it's not what it's about, is it? It's about Jesus. And you can't have Christmas without acknowledging him as your Savior. And if you've never answered the invitation of Jesus to come and live in you, this is your invitation. To come and proclaim him Lord and Savior. Be baptized into Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. And live and have the best Christmas you could ever imagine. You know, I never have understood how the world can celebrate and truly have joy at Christmas without Jesus. They're missing out on so much. And if that is you, don't miss out this year. Make that choice. Make the choice of Jesus. And so many of us, we get caught up in the comings and goings of the holidays and the season, and we forget to stop and say thank you for coming into this world and building that bridge for me. Because without him, there's no hope. So if that's you, and you need to come forward and rededicate your life and re-celebrate Christmas again. Because you know what I've noticed as we get older? We begin to lose the wonder of Christmas, don't we? We live it through our kids when they're little. But after the kids get grown or they stop celebrating, it becomes more work than wonder. That shouldn't be. We should be just as excited about celebrating the birth of Jesus as we were when we were little. And if you've lost that, I challenge you to regain it today. Because he came. He came to save your soul. You got any better reason to celebrate? I don't think so. So whatever decision you need to make, let's make it as we stand and sing.
The first snow in fields as they lay in fields.
worshiping. I got a few announcements, as always. But first of all, I want you to notice this tree here. It's filling up. But we can put some more on there, can't we? The giving tree. This is a wonderful ministry that we do every year, and we'll fill it up and give it to the homeless. So bring us your new stuff. I don't want your worn-out junk up here for the people. I want your good stuff. All right, secondly, we got Christmas Under the Stars in 2 weeks. We're going to have the live nativity, the petting zoo, food, s'mores. And now listen, I want to be very clear that you don't have to be here from 5 to 7 to come to the candlelight service at 7. Some people said, you mean I got to stand out there in the cold for 2 hours for the candlelight service? No, you don't have to, but you're going to miss out on s'mores. You know. And with the live nativity, the youth, the teens, they're going to be manning the live nativity, and we all need to go by and heckle them, you know. They need it. So come out and be a part of that. Then the next one, we got the WCC Christmas. And how many families we got now?
Over 40
families. And over 100 kids that are coming here to get gifts next Saturday. And it's all because of the generosity of you guys. But I don't think we're there yet. So we've already spent it. We need you to give it. So just keep giving, and we'll keep taking care of the kids. Yes?
We need volunteers for next Saturday.
Yeah, for the 17th or this coming Saturday?
For the 10th.
We need some volunteers. If you're going to volunteer to help us give gifts out and do that, go see Leslie. Because it's not, we're going to turn this into, they're shopping. They're going to come in here and shop, and we're going to feed them. We got food, and we're going to give them food and clothing, too. Yeah, and we got a prayer room. We're going to have prayer. I mean, it's going to be a big event.
And if they've told me before, I still need to know his name because I've been busy.
Yeah, she's been a little bit busy. But you can, if you're going to help, stop out there and tell her you're going to come help so we'll know how many we've got and where to put you. All right. It's from 12 to 2 on Saturday. And
volunteers would need to be here from
11:30 to 2:45, because we're going to tear we're tearing this sanctuary down, and we got to set it back up Saturday too. Doesn't that sound like fun? But yeah, it will be. You know why? Because we're doing it for Jesus. And you know, he gave us this beautiful facility to use to glorify his name. And we come in here every week, and we gather together, and we get all dressed up and drink coffee and laugh and make fun of Kirby. But what really matters is what we do when we leave here. This is really the place where you come to get trained to go be the church. And that means you need to go tell people Jesus, not just be nice to them. You need to tell them about this baby boy who came so that they could go to heaven. All right, I've preached enough. All right. I'll be up here for a few minutes if you need me. Hey, let's just go and celebrate Christmas for what it really is, the birth of Jesus. Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Dear God, thank you that we could all be here today. Thank you for the message that Mary gave us.
And just be with us as we go out in the world and live for you and spread your message. Be with us this week as we do that, and just keep us all safe, and just be with us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.